kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
With prayer. And I haven't talked much on this for some time, and I felt that the Lord wanted me just to encourage you with regard to your prayers, your prayer life, and when we come together to pray as well. And we're going to call our teaching today, Our Confidence in Prayer. Our Confidence in Prayer. And I'm going to base this from James chapter 5, from verse 16 through to 18. Of James chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, and we're calling this Our Confidence in Prayer. And it says here, confess your trespasses or faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And this is really what I want to hone in on, the latter part of verse 16, which says the effective or effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And then the Lord gives an analogy of what he's talking about here with regard to Elijah, who was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So here we get a real insight to our confidence in prayer. God wants us to have confidence when we come into his presence. In fact, we are told in the scriptures to come boldly into his presence. And there is a reason for all of this, because what it's revealing is that we stand right before him. There is no obstacle in the way of our standing with God and our prayers and intercessions. The enemy always wants to try and throw obstacles in the way. And he's going to attack particularly with your prayer life. He doesn't like the church. He doesn't like saints praying and interceding. And of course, we can see why. Because in verses 17 and 18, we see that Elijah, who was like us in passions and in nature and everything, he prayed earnestly, didn't he? And it didn't rain for three years. And then he sought the Lord again and rain came back and the land became fruitful. What authority this man had with regard to prayer. And it was because he stood upright before the Lord. There was nothing hindering his stand, his relationship with God, even though we're clearly told he's a man like us, like our nature. And we know that because we see the weaknesses of Elijah that come out. And yet there was something about Elijah with regard to prayer. And this is what tells us what he did. James shows us he was a man who confessed his weaknesses, his faults before God. And likewise, we are encouraged to pray, to confess, pray one for another, that we may be healed, that obstacles or problems or what the devil's trying to do may be thwarted and removed. in order that we can have this effective, fervent prayer, being righteous, that avails much before Almighty God. That's what it means here. So there is a stand and a confidence that one has and can have before God that is to be experienced, not just Elijah, or not just some other brother or sister that you see who's good at praying. No. He's saying about you, that you have this standing also before Almighty God, that you can pray those same prayers that Elijah prayed as well. You see, prayer should only be a way of life for the believer. It's not something that should be added extra on, or it's not our duty. If you are truly born again and you have that new nature, there is something within your new nature that wants to commune and fellowship and talk with your Heavenly Father. Then it's just automatic, like breathing. But God shows us that there is a stand that we can have before Him in prayer, so that we are aware our prayers are prevailing. They are entering into the presence of Almighty God, going before the mercy seat of God. And we are to experience this. And James clearly gives this. And he shows where we get our healing, where we can pray healing for one another, where we can have this stand and pray prayers like Elijah, because you confess your faults, your trespasses, not only to one another, but to God also. In other words, you are so sensitive and mindful that you want nothing hindering your prayers before God. We're not talking about losing your salvation. We are just talking about obstacles. And there are obstacles in life. We meet obstacles. We can go on a journey in a car or in a coach, and sometimes you can come up against obstacles. We've all experienced it, haven't we, in travelling in a car where suddenly the traffic is diverted, or sadly there has been an accident or whatever. It means there's a diversion. In other words, I can't go on that particular journey. I have to alternate. I have to go round, or whatever it is. I had this today when I went shopping, which normally can take me about 15 minutes. Took me nearly a half an hour because we've got so many diversions around here at the moment. And so it's the same in the Christian walk. And sometimes we're going through trials and testings and whatever it is. And sometimes they seem to get in the way, or in the way of our prayer life. Because it just seems that's all there is at the moment. My mind seems to be just fixed on this trial or something that I'm going through. So we do have these obstacles. But he's showing how we can have this unbroken fellowship 24/7 with God. And it's a result of confession. It's a result of being honest. It's a result of waiting on God. You know, one of our problems that we have is we come so quick before God's presence. We want to get it all off our chest. We want to get into prayer. We want to tell Him what's happening or what I'm going through or whatever it is. And we don't give time. We don't give time to focus, just to think about Him, just to be in His presence, to allow the Holy Spirit to prepare for prayer. It's not always just something you come straight into somebody's presence. It's like with people that we know, or it's like in the family, or sometimes you want to talk something that is important to your son or your daughter, but you're waiting for the right opportunity, or you're waiting for the right moment. Sometimes we just know it's not right to share that at that point. And we need to have that sensitivity with God because we're coming before his holy presence. We're coming before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We're coming before the one who's created and made everything, including you. And we can sometimes be quite disrespectful. We may not always mean it, but the point is we need to consider our prayers because we are praying prayers like what Elijah prayed. And that is why I'm calling this teaching today our confidence in prayer, because there should be a confidence. Jesus had a confidence in his prayer, his prayer life. Sometimes he prayed through the night. But he knew that when he met situations or when people needed healing or whatever it was or teaching, he knew that his heavenly Father was with him, and not only with him, but he knew that he had heard him. And we are to have the same experience, brothers and sisters. So prayer is not only just a way of life, which it should be for the Christian, but it's also experience this stand before him. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 5. You know this very well, but I think this is applicable in the context of what we're talking about here. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Remember that he said, he spoke about back in James about confessing. Why is confessing important? It's dealing with sin. It's dealing with unbelief. It's dealing with just sometimes we just take on a lot of grime. It's dealing with whatever is hindering our prayers. And so we need to give time for this. Now, what does Peter say here with regard to this in 1 Peter chapter 5 onwards? Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now here we're dealing with a problem that is found, sadly, very often in the house of God. So humility is absolutely vital for our confidence in prayer. He then goes on, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. In other words, he will raise you up in his strength and power. He will give you the authority, the same authority that Elijah had when he spoke and it didn't rain for 3 years. These are the prayers that God wants us to start to enter into. And it means a complete surrender. It's a surrendering of yourself. It is being absolutely honest in his presence. And it is giving time for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you, to prepare you before you start to ask in his name. Because when you ask in his name, there has to be an authority. There has to be a boldness. There has to be a standing in the presence of Almighty God, and there is not to be anything that hinders that relationship, that standing. In other words, the scepter is placed out to you to come boldly into his presence. And this is an experience. This is a confidence that is given to you. And you know that when you start to pray, you have the faith. You know that God is answering these prayers or this prayer. This has to be experienced, brothers and sisters. It's not just mere words. These words that we read, these promises that we read, are to be experienced. So there we are. That is the first thing then for our confidence in prayer, that we have this humility. We are humble. And this is why God deals with pride. Pride is still a big problem in the house of God. And you know what I call pride? I call it that spiritual cancer that eats into the soul of saints. And the only way that this can be dealt with is that you humble yourself and you allow the Holy Spirit to begin to burn, to begin to deal with that pride, that haughtiness, where we resist what the Lord is trying to say and do. Because Elijah was a humble man before God. He was aware of his weaknesses. And likewise, we are as well. We have to be reminded, we have to know what God has saved us from. There go I, by the grace of God. We still can become too offended so easily or judgmental by another brother or sister or what they've done or whatever it is, instead of getting in prayer for them, that God will help them, deliver them and bring them through. That's what James tells us to do. So this is absolutely vital then in this area for our confidence in prayer. Well, another area that we need to look at with regard to being confident in prayer, and that is prayer is for God's glory. And I think, again, we forget about that one. What does it say in Isaiah 42 and verse 8? Isaiah 42 and verse 8, he says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. So he says that my name is Lord. And we all know what Lord means. It means master. So that is what he is. And he says, my glory I will not give to another. God is jealous over his glory. He's jealous over his word. And particularly not to carved images. In other words, idolatry. So we need to consider that then, brothers and sisters, if we want that confidence in prayer. And again, that we give that time, that we are aware of God's glory, that this is for him. This prayer time that I'm having is for his glory. And rightly so, because I couldn't do any of this unless he shows, unless he reveals, unless he takes the first initiative in my life. It's impossible otherwise. So therefore, it's about glorifying his name. And the answers to our prayers are for his glory, not for your gain, not what you can get out of it. Yes, you will be blessed. Of course you will. But prayer, the confidence in prayer, is always first for his glory. That is the reason I want this confidence. I want this stand. I want this boldness in his presence for the very purpose, because this glorifies him. That is why I want this. Not for me, not so others can see that I have this special standing and relationship with God, which so often, sadly, we have seen, and in a lot of ministries, got it completely wrong. No, my confidence in prayer is for his glory. because he's jealous for his glory. We might not fully understand that, but if God's jealous for his glory, then we better get this right. We better really get this one right, because it ain't going to work otherwise. And in time, God shows why he is what he is. But we just do it. We don't question it. He's right. He doesn't get it wrong. And that's what he requires. And that is what he says through Isaiah. My glory I will not give to another. And we will not glory in it either. Whatever stand, whatever confidence I have before God in prayer is by the mercy and grace of God. It is what he has allowed to happen. That is how it always works. Well, there we are. That's the second thing with regard to our confidence in prayer. And thirdly, our confidence in prayer is because he is faithful. And that should stir up that confidence for the very fact that he is faithful. At times it doesn't always look as though he is faithful. It seems as though he's late. He never seems to be on time. But God has a right time for everything. That's the whole point. But he is faithful. And we know this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Now there we are. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Notice that the first part of the verse, he who calls you. So you have to be called from the foundation of the world. And you may say, well, I don't know whether I'm called from the foundation of the world. Well, what are your actions? Do you love the Lord? Do you want to do his will? Do you want to meet? Do you want to hear the word? Do you want to pray? All those things. Well, if you do, they're all clear signs that God called you first before you called upon him. So there again is our confidence, our assurance that God has not made a mistake over me. Whatever my life is, whatever my background has been, whatever I've done, as bad as it is, God has not made a mistake. Oh, I know it often offends people sometimes. Sadly, even Christians can be offended. Well, what on earth did God want to save that person? They're not very nice. Look what they've done. Look what their life's been up to and everything. Oh, God has to deliver us from that mindset. He won't have that. God has made no mistake. Therefore, that gives us a confidence then with prayer with him, that he is going to hear our prayers. He might not manifest it the time we want, but we have that confidence that he has heard us. Now, that is important again, because it's really connected with faith. Because that gives me that standing before God. In other words, it's telling me it's not a waste of time. And prayer sometimes can be difficult. It is a discipline. Sometimes we are battling thoughts in our minds, or we're battling tiredness, or whatever it would be. I know it's not easy. And the enemy, certainly, he knows where to attack. But the point is, God wants you to know that what you're doing, your prayer, whether individually or corporately, is not a waste of time. He is faithful, he is hearing, and he's ever working to get us to pray even more effectively and to have that confidence. That's why he's speaking to us tonight like he is. He sees more that we can experience with him with regard to prayer. And I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I want to see our prayers answered. I want to see FGA's prayers answered, particularly now in the times that we live and what we're facing and what we need to pray and intercede and get in warfare on. We need that confidence. We need to know and experience that he is faithful and that he heard us. And they're not just words. It's a knowing. It's an experience, brothers and sisters. And it will come. If you haven't experienced it yet, it will come. And you will know. You will know like Jesus knew. He knew that his heavenly Father had heard, had answered him. And you are coming into the same experience as well. So there we are. Well then, let's look at another area with regard to our confidence in prayer. And that is, I stand in him. I have this confidence because I stand in him and he in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And we get this from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So there we are. Those who are called then have the power of God. And not only the power of God, but the wisdom of God. Wisdom, how we learn, how we understand, how we apply this knowledge. So he gives us that wisdom. He's giving us the wisdom tonight through this teaching so that we can learn to have confidence in him with prayer and how to apply this. And our application can only come by a knowledge of the Word of God. And we're teaching you how to apply this. As God speaks to us and gives us that wisdom. So we have this confidence because we stand in him. I have his power working in and through me. The very power that spoke the world, the heavens into being. The very power that raised Christ from the dead. The very power resides in me. Now, this moment, so that I can have this confidence in prayer. Again, you need to know this. You need to experience this. No, it's not by feelings. Sometimes you may feel anointed when you're praying or whatever it is, but it doesn't matter whether you do or you don't. The point is, the Word of God says that is what you have. If you're a new creation in Christ, to be that new creation has required the power of God to do that. So look what your new birth has to have. Look what a miracle it is to be born again. It requires the power of God to change you. That's why it looks impossible in the natural when you are praying for your family, your loved ones and whatever it is. You just think it can never be done. Do you know why you think that? Do you know why it looks like that? Because it takes the power of God to do it. And your prayers are praying and believing with that confidence that the power of God will change those whom I'm confessing before Almighty God. You need to have confidence in that. And the Holy Spirit will minister that confidence to you so that you can stand knowing that your prayers are being heard and not just going as far as to the ceiling. Well, there is another area where we stand in him and he is in us. And so as I pray, it's two coming together in agreement. So it's not just you praying before Almighty God, but Christ in you is the hope of glory. He's also praying and interceding and meeting with you as well. That is why he sits at the right hand of the Father as the high priest, praying, supplicating for this very reason, so that you can have this confidence in prayer. So that as you hear yourself praying, you will know that the Lord in you is also agreeing and praying that prayer as well. Sometimes you're praying that prayer because God has taken the initiative first. So let that be a source of help and encouragement to you. That it's not just me, but this is the Lord as well. We are in prayer. It's nothing wrong to say, when we go before God in prayer, we're meeting together in prayer. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That it's not just you, but it's God meeting with you. Two of you. And what does the Bible say? If two of you agree as touching anything on earth, it'll be done by my Father in heaven. You've got God on your side, agreeing with you, standing with you, helping you to have that confidence in prayer, that faith in prayer, to pray the prayers of faith. Well, there we are. Well, let's look at another area. Our prayer is effectual. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit who is leading and guiding. So he's given you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He's baptized you in the Spirit for that very purpose, that he not only teaches you, leads you and guides you, but he's also there in your prayer life as well. How could we doubt, brothers and sisters, with all this availability that's been given to us, and yet at times we can get so down, so despondent, we feel as though my prayers are not prevailing, and I know all about that. I know it's very real at times, but we need to go back and remind ourselves exactly what God has given to us in order to help us to pray. What does it say in the Gospel of John 14, verse 15? I know you know this well. John 14 and verse 15. If you love me and keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because they see him not and know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now, he is the Spirit of truth. There is no lie. There is no blemish. There is absolute purity of truth in the Holy Spirit, whom you have received. Jesus said, I will send him to you. In other words, what he's saying, I'm returning back to you now by the Spirit. That's what it means. And there's no lie in me. So our confidence in prayer can be based on the fact that there is no lie. There's no deception. You can have absolute confidence that God will reveal, he will show you how to pray the perfect will of God. But I already said to you at the beginning of this, you can only experience these things if you are humble, you confess your faults, your sin, hindrances, or if you've sinned with the tongue that day, or whatever it would be, you have to be right. You have to get it under the blood of the Lamb, to have that boldness to stand in his presence. There's the problem. And this is why the enemy attacks us like he does. Because he wants us not to have the power of God's presence in our prayers and intercessions, because he fears it. Do you know why? Because it's dividing the enemy's kingdom when you pray like that. But you can have the confidence, because he says in verse 13 of that chapter, "And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in heaven. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." And then he goes straight on about the promise of the Comforter. You can ask in his name because you have received the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. That is why you can ask and receive. Because he's going to speak to you. He's going to reveal to you. He's going to teach you. He's going to show you what to ask. But too often, we're asking out of our own lusts, out of our own pride, out of our own selfish will. And we wonder why so little happens. So there we are. Our prayers are effective because we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who's leading and guiding. And finally with this, our prayers are effective because it is by faith, belief. And that is the most important thing. You may be saying to me, "Oh, I'm listening to what you're saying, Pastor. Oh, I wish I had a prayer life. I'm listening. I long for this. You're absolutely right what you're saying. But oh, you just don't know. You don't know what I go through. You don't know the trials in my life and so on." Well, this is where your faith comes in, where you trust God. Because I tell you, God has made no mistake. Whatever your trials, whatever your circumstances, whatever you're going through, God has not made a mistake. He's absolutely sovereign and he is in control. And he's in control to the point that your prayers can start to become effective. What does it say in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2 as we wrap this up and give it a conclusion? What does it say in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2 onwards? He says here, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." So he's talking about the children of Israel and revealing why they perished in the wilderness, why they never entered the promised land, because they wouldn't mix faith with what they heard. Now, I've done many teachings on that before, but just to quickly say that if you're baking a cake, you have to put all the right ingredients in if you want that cake. You can't just leave some of it out or whatever, because it won't be right. You have to follow the recipe. And all the mixtures, everything that is needed for that cake will produce that cake. And it's exactly the same with us. For the word of God to be fruitful in your life, you have to believe on it. And it's not about feelings. It's not about emotions. It's simply choosing to believe what you hear. Because faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10, 17. This is how we get faith. And our faith will enable us to be able to have confidence and to have our prayers effective before him. Our faith is the root of dealing with whatever hindrances and problems that we have in our lives. And we do. That's why we're overcomers. And so it's settling it. It's not trying to change God's word because of my circumstances or because I'm having a problem believing it. As a lot of Christians do that, it's very dishonest because they have a problem believing it. They change it. They water it down. They alter it. I'm sad to say even a lot of preachers do that. And it is so dishonest. Instead of just being open and honest and saying to God, Lord, I can't live this. I can't live what I've just read there. It's beyond me. It's impossible. But I know you can do it through me. See, here it comes back to honesty. Humility. There are many verses in the Bible that really cut to the core. That you look at it and say, I can't walk that. It's impossible. Even the disciples said this to the Lord. And what did Jesus say? With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Why did Jesus say that? Because he said the power of God on your behalf will make it possible. You couldn't save yourself. It took the power of God to change our lives, to give us that new Christ-like nature. That is what he's saying. And it comes simply on the basis of believing, mixing that faith with what you hear. Sometimes you've just got to say, Lord, I believe that. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to have faith on that. And I know you will help me. There you are. You've got the victory. You've won it. Sometimes it is so simple that we miss it. We make it so difficult for ourselves. And God says, just obey me. Just trust me. And then the blessing comes, does it not? And that is why we have the Holy Spirit who leads and guides and teaches us for this very thing. But let me well assure you that faith is the key. We have to pray the prayers of faith. We're told back in James, which we were looking at, praying the prayer of faith over the sick will save them. It says, doesn't it, in Hebrews 11:6, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you're not in faith, then confess it as sin. Be honest before him. He knows. It's what he wants to hear. Because honesty, humility, gets the devil off your back. And it allows the blood of the Lamb to atone, to heal, to keep you in God's presence. So there we are, brothers and sisters, our confidence in prayer. I've raised several areas that I believe the Lord revealed to me today as I was preparing this, and I know I got a blessing out of this, because we really, really do need that faith, that confidence, as we come before our Heavenly Father in prayer, particularly now with what we're facing, with the falling away now, with what's going on in the world. God wants his church, he wants saints who stand in confidence and boldness with their prayers before Almighty God. It's absolutely imperative now. But we have to learn that these hindrances, these areas that hinder our relationship with God, have to be dealt with and covered under the blood of Jesus if we want that stand, that boldness in his presence. And we have to allow and the Holy Spirit to do this. We have to give ourselves time when we come into his presence and not rattle off our prayers, our lists before him. But to be aware of him, aware of the one whom we come before. We have to give ourselves time for the Holy Spirit to work and move in his presence. Well, there we are. We've covered all those areas. If you want to listen to it again, it's on tape and you can go on our website and this message will be put up for people to be able to listen to it again Very often I go over the words several times because you can't take it all in one go. But faith comes by hearing the word of God. That is how we get this faith to stand in these last days. Father, we thank you for speaking to us. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit who has come to lead and guide us into all truth, for you are truth. Lord, we thank you that you have said in your word that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And Lord, we know when the great shepherd speaks to his people, because Lord, you always speak in love, even though you may admonish us and correct us, but you always show us that way of escape. You always show us that there is healing and blessing because you love us. And above all, Father, you want us to have that confident prayer life, that stand, that boldness before you. And so thank you, Lord, for our fellowship. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Lord, it is always a privilege to be able to share the word of God with your people. And I pray you'll bless, preserve and keep them. Keep them in good health. Keep them from the evil one, from temptation, till we assemble again. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
So disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, our Father.